This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We got a bit of a conundrum this morning. You got me, Kevin Hagland. I'm fine. You have Corey Majors, who I think is a little sad. And you have the Alec Medford, who I also think is a little sad. What are we going to do to fix this? I'm going to start by stealing the front part of a great story from Corey. Do you ever feel like the mess has gotten too bad and there's nothing you can do about it, so you just need to move on? For example, his story is tremendous, but it reminded me of back in the day when we had somebody different running this station. I had one of those giant McDonald's drinks because they're like, "Oh, drink's a dollar. Don't even worry about it." And I was holding it so tight, I punched my thumb through the side of the styrofoam cup and it just went everywhere. And we were walking with our then programming director and I was trying to clean it up. And he goes, "Hey, don't worry about it. We got people for that." And because he was like in the middle of a conversation and he was like, "Now keep going. We just don't worry about that." So now that
what is the I love moments like that where I've been able to say it like twice in my life. There's people for that.
Yeah.
I didn't feel bad about it because I was like, no, that really is their job to do. So like let them do their job, you know? How many times do you think rich people get to say that all the time?
See, though, right? And I was like going to get stuff to clean it, and he was like, "That will interrupt our conversation." Now, if we weren't having a conversation, he probably would have been like, "Good luck with that." Mm-hmm. But instead, he's like, "No, we got people for that." And so, Corey, I only remember that story because of the story that you told me from this weekend as we're trying to cheer folks up.
Shout out to Tolo Logan, who I'm going to go ahead and throw it out there. He also works at Guitar Center. But I saw him at the gym on Sunday. My middle son, Carter, wanted to go to the gym. And he's football, trying to get big and everything. And I was like, "All right, let's go." We go up there. We do our work. I see Logan. We didn't know that we worked out together until yesterday. And so we're chatting for a minute. And then Carter, we get done with our workout. And Carter goes and grabs, "Does everybody's gym have spray bottles and paper towels to wipe stuff down?"
Yeah, I got the wet wipes.
Right. So yeah. And they do say just spray it onto the paper towel and then wipe it. Don't spray it directly onto the equipment. And Carter picked up the bottle and sprayed, and then the bottom of the bottle just fell off, and the soap water just went everywhere. And he just looked up at me like, and I was like, "Oh my gosh, buddy." And Logan was standing there. When he saw it, he was like, "So do you think Luther Burden's a good pick?" Or,
"Oh my God." So he
did not like this guy.
See, he didn't give a crap about that.
And I was like, "Clean it up, Carter. Get some paper towels." So
you need to talk about the draft. That is what he was focused on.
It was a total Charlie Chaplin moment. So I loved it. That was a great moment for my weekend, seeing my son embarrassed.
All right, so what I want to know to go along with that is, you ever been in a situation where you wanted to help, but you're like, it's too much? Even if you were responsible for it, you're like, "I can't clean up all of that stuff."
Did you realize what there is there?
I don't know. And then, Alec, did that help
that
start to cheer you up?
The body was in the bathtub, you know?
Oh, yeah. No, that's great, because I feel like everyone has those situations where, especially in public, where you're just like, "Oh, what do I do about this?" It's like the person that drops like the pasta sauce that's in a glass jar at the grocery store. And they're just like, you know, they feel bad, but they're like, "It's technically not my responsibility at this point. There's a whole janitorial staff
the
and whatnot."
The waiter that drops the tray of food.
Oh, no.
You're like sitting there and you're like, I don't, I can't do anything to help you. You know where all the towels are.
Okay, but at least, see, that person works there. I think at the grocery store, what I want to know is, do you think those people's eyes quickly dart around in the hopes that a store employee saw what happened, so they'll send the cleanup? So then you don't even have to pretend. Because you know that you're not getting down there and picking up all that glass. Maybe some people do. Good for them. But I wonder how many people are looking around like, hey, oh no, did you see that?
Go find somebody. Immediately just go find somebody and go, man, there was a spill. It was me. Yeah, take ownership of it.
I agree.
But let them know that there's a spill on aisle three for sure.
Would you do the same thing if you were in a public restroom and then the toilet had problems? Or would you just leave?
Oh, I leave.
What's the difference?
Nobody wants to be around when a toilet's overflowing. Ever. Nobody wants. Even the plumbers out there are like, yeah, I think they can all agree. That's going to make me money, but I don't want to be around it.
Okay.
Nobody wants to be around an overflowing toilet.
Okay. Well, there you go. Ladies and gentlemen, Corey Major starting things out hot. I like it. You know what didn't start things out hot? Really everything that happened Saturday in the Rangers game. Go ahead and give me cut number three. And I want to focus in specifically on Saturday's game because there was so much about this game that I think is agitating for this fan base.
Full count to Rayleigh. Here's the pitch. A swing and a drive into left. Josh Smith going back. It's over his head. It's off the track in the wall. A Rosarena scores. Rayleigh is into second with an RBI double. And the Mariners have now scored four runs here in the third inning.
All right, let's start by talking about Kamar Rocker. We asked this question before the season started. Was this a move that everybody signed off on? Or was it a move that was pushed just because that's the way it was going to be?
Maybe he wasn't 100% ready for all this. And Kevin, my feeling is it's going to be an up and down roller coaster with him all year long. And you're going to see moments like this where he can't get a certain pitch to work the way he wants to. And so what did he say? The sinker?
Yeah.
They were tagging it. And he was like, I got to throw something in there to kind of change that up because they're getting on that ball right now.
So for the sinker specifically, 40 of his sinker pitches on Saturday. This is Rocker. And I just, the reason why I want to talk about Saturday's game is there's just so many more like kind of touchstone points in there that I think are agitating. 40 of his sinkers, he threw 20 were in what StatCast calls the heart of the plate, which is, that's not what you want, all right? And because of that, the Mariners went 4-for-9 on sinkers against him. You know how many? He threw 40. You know how many they swung and missed on? One. One.
That's not good.
No, it is not. And so,
and that's one of his best pitches.
And yeah, then Bochy kind of identified, well, I mean, big shock. Bochy has an answer for everything.
Yeah.
Bochy identified, except for moving the leadoff man. When Rocker was going fastball, that's where he gave up the hits because he got behind in the count. So in predictable fastball counts, he was throwing fastballs. That usually doesn't work out too well when you do it consistently. So
exactly.
Like, yeah, if you go back to that once or twice, great. But if you're going to do it again and again, cause you don't have any trust in your off speed stuff.
Yep.
Well, then you're probably going to get hammered. And so that was really frustrating. You're right. Whether it's Rocker or any other rookie pitcher, there is always going to be some ebbs and flows.
Yeah, I mean, we saw with Jack Leiter last year, too, you would see some in within a game.
Sure.
And the same thing just happened on Sunday to Rocker, where within the game, you saw a high and a low. First inning, he comes out blazing. And you're like, whoa,
yeah,
he looks dominant, baby. And then that's when I tweeted, and maybe, Kevin, just maybe, it was my fault. Because I did tweet out, ladies and gentlemen, something like that. Kamar Rocker has arrived.
Yeah.
And that, like, that inning right there set the tone for me. And then everything else kind of faded from there. That being said, Seattle is not supposed to be good at hitting. And
right.
The Rangers are not good at hitting. So what did we say? Hey, the battle of pitching, the pitching for Seattle's fantastic. What did I say was keeping me from having a complete love for the season so far and the way this thing started? And that was that I just don't know if I can trust the pitching to outlast bad hitting or poor hitting.
Yeah.
And the hitting, the pitching got to. I mean, Jacob deGrom got to. Kamar Rocker got to. And Nate Eovaldi basically has to go there and out there and pitch a shutout in order to win games. Like, that seems like the only way. So solving this thing sometime soon will help this team get back into a groove. And they aren't.
And you just kind of hit on it, unlike the Rangers, because that is the most irritating part. Now let's run down this cut sheet list real quick. I guess I could have just said list, Alec. Do you want to play me Rangers offensive highlight? Let's see. Rangers.
Cal Raleigh home run. Nope. Final call. Raleigh RBI double.
Nope.
I don't see any.
So there are no Rangers offensive highlights because you saw the games this weekend. You listened to them right here on The Fan. Where was the offense? And I'm specifically going to focus in on, we talk all the time when it comes to the bullpen about leverage innings, right? Like leverage innings most logically being the 7th, 8th, and 9th inning. But you go to Saturday's game. When did the Texas Rangers lose Saturday's game? I would make an argument they lost it in the first inning.
Yeah, when DeGrom was on the bump.
No, still sticking with the rocker game.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
So what happens in the first inning? Simeon. Oh, yeah. Walk.
Right.
Seager. Single. Josh Smith. Single. Score run. Hey, all right.
Yeah.
Three hitters.
Bases loaded.
Three people on base. Then Adolis Garcia, he also gets a hit. Hey, all right. Four people up to bat. Three hits, one walk. Your on-base efficiency machine. Like, this is the dream of how you draw it up. Maybe there's a home run in there, too. But, like, this is the dream of how you draw it up in terms of offensive efficiency.
String together hits and base runners.
Exactly.
And Kevin, that happened on Friday night, too.
Yes.
First inning.
Yes.
Same thing.
And so you have the bases loaded with nobody out. I'm going to tell you this, and I realize it has happened before in the history of baseball. It will happen again in the history of baseball. I think it should never be acceptable that you have the bases loaded with no outs and don't score a run.
I agree.
Ever.
I agree. I think Bochy would agree with you on that too.
Absolutely.
Like he's gonna be like, look, I understand the circumstances. Things happen sometimes, but you got to go up to the plate with the mentality that I got to drive one run home, at least one run. Most guys are up there probably thinking, I'm going to hit a grand slam right now. And you got to reduce yourself back to, I got to get some guys in.
So what happened instead? Jock Peterson flies out. Not enough for a sacrifice. Because even then, you'd hey, okay, two runs, it's okay. Josh Young.
Far enough fly.
Yeah.
Wasn't deep enough.
We're going to get back around to Jock Peterson. And I just have some questions about whether the Derek Holland threshold will be held with him.
I gotcha.
As well. Josh Young strikes out swinging. Jake Berger strikes out looking. Obviously, Peterson and Berger, we can talk more about. You get nothing right there. Nothing. The rest of the game, you get one run and six hits. That was your chance. Now, is that to say that Rocker would have pitched differently? I don't know that, but I do kind of wonder if you got to go out on the mound and it was 4-0 instead of 1-0, if that would change your, like, I don't know, your confidence, your ability to be.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
aggressive across the strike zone.
It absolutely changes the way you attack the strike zone whenever you have a 4 or 5 run lead versus you're tied up. You're going to attack it a little bit differently, a little freer, and you're also going to have more conviction behind your pitches, which is very important for the pitcher. The way you go about it, every pitcher we've ever talked to has always told us having a few runs on the board changes everything.
Absolutely. And so the Rangers didn't get any of those runs. Wu ended up making it through 7 innings. So let's go to Boach. You anticipated he would be less than pleased with how this went. He said, "We just got to cash in when we get those chances in the first inning. Those opportunities are game changers. You know, you get a hit here, a hit there, the pitch count's going up, and it can change the whole game."
Yep.
Change the whole game in terms of, like, you would have a bigger lead, but would you have been able to chase their starting pitcher out?
Get him out early.
Far before 7 innings? Probably.
Mm-hmm. Get him out early. Get into that bullpen. If you do it early in the, like, again, Friday night this happened. All right? So now you're into their bullpen in the third inning. You're into their bullpen very early in that game. Their bullpen's screwed for the rest of the series.
Yeah.
And so, like, those little things in the first innings of games can absolutely change everything.
And I just, it's frustrating. It's frustrating for a variety of reasons. You only score 6 runs in the series. That most likely means your series went poorly. For the Rangers, they got swept. And if not for that win on getaway day against the Cubs, you would have gotten double swept. And now the Rangers are 1-5. And it's just another series where Saturday was my flashpoint of you weren't in that game for that long, obviously at the beginning, but then it fell apart really quickly because you didn't take opportunities that you had. And so far, this offense, shockingly enough to me, I'm really surprised, has not been able to take advantage of any of these chances. And that's not going to fly with the way the offense is right now.
I think they have a negative team war right now. I'm trying to put the numbers together, but negative 0.5 for Marcus Semien, negative 0.4 for Berger, negative 0.2 for Adolis, for Tavares, negative 0.8 for Jock. Like, it's
negative 0.8 and Seager, already.
Seager is your best. Him and Wyatt, Seager's at 0.5. Like you just said, already in the season, Wyatt is at 0.6, so that's a bonus. 0.5 for Josh Smith.
And we'll probably dive into this a little harder tomorrow, but ESPN put out their, like, updated fun rankings of teams to watch. This team is not been fun to watch. Now there have,
and that's completely different from our World Series season whenever you were like, oh my gosh, what is this?
And everyone's saying, man, you're gonna need to be winning all these games 7-5, but more realistically, you're gonna need to win them via complete game shutout. Like, and this is not just about the offense. Like, when you saw Nate Eovaldi go out there and complete game shutout it, you're like, oh my God, that was a blast to watch. But then you've seen Rocker kind of sputter. Leiter went to the injured list. Jacob deGrom looks like a normal human pitcher so far. And so we'll dive more into that tomorrow, but I thought this was going to be one of the most fun teams in Major League Baseball to watch. And at least just early on, and it is early, that has not been the case.
They got to find their slug soon, dude.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we go to Amen Corner where Rory wins because I am not a golf expert. Next on The Fan.
The journey it's taken to get here for all this history.
His masterpiece.
I get it,
dude.
Because he won the Masters. That's a good job, Jim Nance.
Oh, no, it's because of our show.
Oh,
that's right.
Jim Nance giving us a shout out. By the way, shout out to Raphael on his birthday today. He said he never gets a shout out, so I wanted to go ahead and give him an early Monday shout out for his birthday. Congratulations, Raphael.
Now, shout out to me, because I'm pretty sure this is what I predicted would happen, and not the complete opposite of what I predicted would happen.
So hold on. You predicted that Rory would win the Masters.
That is how I recall it.
Let's go ahead and go to the audio then, Alec.
What? The last time Rory McIlroy won a major was 11 years ago.
You think he's going to do it?
No, I don't. He's never won the Masters either. So I'm just going to go out my bold, not so bold Masters prediction. The hell with everybody else in the field. Rory McIlroy will not win this tournament.
Oh, no, dude.
Fine. If he does, feel free to isolate that audio or play the full context. You look like an idiot.
Yep. Or oscillate it like one of those fans.
Isolate it.
Yeah.
On Monday, he is not going to win the tournament.
So, Kevin, I will tell you this. On my timeline, there were a lot of people that were saying, in your face, Kevin, and they were going at you. I had people in my personal life texting me and going, tell Kevin to shove it. And I was just like, dang, dude. Like,
on your face.
It could have easily been a right thing, a correct thing, because he's never done it before. It makes a lot of sense.
So,
however,
first of all, I am an idiot.
Oh, no. You're good.
Hey, if you go back and listen to the audio, I feel like I have to admit that. Second of all, I'm not a golf expert. Third, I watch one shot of the Masters.
Oh, dude.
I know.
So,
this is the greatest thing that's ever been.
Can I talk to you? No. Can I talk to you about this real quick? Because as I was watching it this weekend, and I'll admit, I only watched Sunday. There was a moment when Rory missed a putt and DeChambeau missed a putt. And I thought to myself, if Kevin's watching this right now, he's like, see, they're terrible golfers. Like that, it's so easy to putt a ball into a hole. Like that was going on in my mind. And I started thinking about that. Tiger made it. Tom Brady made it. LeBron, Michael Jordan. These guys made it look so easy. And even they struggled at times, but we don't remember those moments where they left a putt hanging.
Yeah.
You know, we only remember the really classic moments, but it's such a difficult sport and it's so frustrating at the same time. Imagine being Rory McIlroy and losing that lead. Kevin, I saw a line, and I can't remember who the author was of this, but the line was, you have no net once you've gone there. Once you've gone to a place, you have no net. There's nobody there to stop it from happening. Nobody's there to hold the collapse. And you just kind of have to rely on yourself and your caddy. And even your caddy can't talk you out of it at times. And you can spiral out of control.
And
we've seen it happen so many different times. Or you can say, you know what? That was a bad hole. Next hole, forget about that one. Move on. And that kind of thing. I was rooting for Rory the whole time. And I was happy that even though he did start the spiral and didn't do it the dominant way, that he was able to finally get that thing that he had eluded him so long.
Okay. People were waiting, apparently, for this to happen, too. Because every time I flipped through Twitter, I knew something bad happened to him at the beginning of the round. Because people were like, oh, is Rory going to spiral? And people were like, already happening. And then the other time I noticed it on my Twitter timeline, give me cut number 9. I just knew that something bad had happened. I didn't know this is specifically what had happened to him.
86 to the hole.
Look for this a little long, a little left. Oh, Rory. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness is right. By the way, Kevin, I think Rory won because of your prediction. Hey, always good to hedge your position. All right? What did I tell you? Underdog made a couple of plays.
Oh, look at that.
Just in case the bankroll went up. Now, I did watch one shot
hedge your bets.
Of the tournament. And it was, we're going to play cut 8. All right, because look. I get it. Everyone thought he was going to collapse, and then he started to collapse, and then I'm pretty sure there was a 3-way tie, and then Justin Rose, who finished like 18 hours before everybody else, was like, hey, I did really good. Maybe I'll have to play again, and so he was just out on the putting green and everything like that. But then it finally got down to it. I saw all the things on Twitter. I was like, all right, I'm going to watch Rory McIlroy give me the finger and like just really get this thing taken care of. And so
you wanted to see him turn into like that. Nothing's stopping me from getting this.
Yeah.
And I think everybody kind of wants to witness that at some point.
And honestly, I wanted to see how happy he was going to be because he had never won a Masters. Like I said, it had been 11 years since he won a major. And this is somebody that I feel like still most people believe is one of the best players in golf. He just never, not the best, but one of the best. He just never gets it done when it's on the line.
A specific one, yeah, for sure.
And so when I saw, they were like, he's got this putt for immortality. And I was like, all right, I tuned in. This is the one shot I saw of the Masters.
McIlroy steps in. Can he do it? Rory looks at the hole.
putter back and through. And he missed on the left. He missed on the left. It's only a foot away. It should be no problem, but he's got to keep his focus as we look to a playoff here in the 89th Masters.
Yeah, you still got to make that. You still got to make
the short
putt.
Yeah, and I guess two shots then. I was like, my God, if he were to miss that, like he'd be done forever. Mm-hmm. But the second he hit it, people were ready to party and in the hole and everything. And I will tell you this. If they would have started the playoff straight away, I know I said this in Crosstalk. If they would have started the playoff straight away, I would have watched it.
Oh, but because it took a long
time. But it took like, I don't know, like 25 minutes or whatever to get it going. I was like, nah, I got to go do something else. And Noah doesn't want to sit there and watch golf and stuff. And so I missed it. I mean, I know he won. Obviously, we played the audio. But I'm not going to lie. When he missed that putt going into the playoffs, I was like, he's not going to win.
That's when Kevin threw his remote across the room and was like, see, that's why, golf.
Seriously, did you think after he missed that putt to win, going into the playoff, he was going to win? And Justin Rose had been playing insanely good that day.
Insanely well. Yeah, I thought it was 50-50, honestly, at that point. Because, yes, Rose had been playing that well, but now he'd kind of gotten himself out of the groove.
For sure.
And I was saying this about Rory last week. He's the kind of guy that his pace is definitely part of is the way he plays. He wants the pace to keep going and going, especially whenever he's in that place. And I figured that he would, you know, they'd battle it out a little bit and Rory would come out. But I'd honestly, Kevin, I was wrapping something up in one room and closed my laptop, which I was watching it on. And then went to the living room and turned the TV on. And by the time, I guess I was on delay, when I turned the TV on, I see Rory on the ground. So I missed the moment and like when it happened. Yeah. I was like, no, because I'd been so watching happy. It all day, sticking to it and everything. And it was an absolute blast to watch some of these dudes make some amazing shots. But it is, I have a question about the career Grand Slam for y'all.
Okay. Can I name them all? Yes, I can.
Oh, now that's good. Okay.
I had to look up one of the players. Look.
Do we have any test music that's out there? I don't know if that's a thing.
I had to look up one of the players because when I first saw his last name, I was like, I have no idea who that is. That was Gene Sarazen.
Okay.
I would have never gotten that in a million years. And
he's
so I had to look him up.
Referee in the NFL.
No, that is not Steratore.
But when it comes to the major tournaments, and when it comes to the Grand Slam, the career Grand Slam, I think, is a significant deal. I think it's a very big deal.
For sure.
And I know a lot of people, was it the Tiger Grand Slam? They're like, well, yeah, but it didn't happen in 1 year. It happened over two seasons. I'm like, even still, you get it over your career. That's not everybody even gets close to one.
Look.
Like, that's a special thing to add to your ledger as you've gotten along.
He's the sixth men's player ever to get it
done.
That's
awesome.
So, yeah, that's really impressive. Like, I remember going back when everybody thought Roger Federer was the greatest tennis player of all time, because the sport that I watch that is somewhat similar to this is probably tennis in terms of structure of the majors and everything.
Individuality,
like that.
Yes, too.
Exactly. And so when he won the French Open, because Nadal was out and he was like, I better freaking win it this year. And he was freaking out.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if you beat that person or not. I won this.
Exactly. And he was freaking out like way more than just, hey, I won another Wimbledon or whatever. Because he's like, yes, finally. And so that's the thing. And so you look at it, I'll admit, maybe Gene Sarazen is great. I'm sorry. I'm not as familiar with his greatness, but I do know Ben Hogan, Gary Player, Jack Nicklaus, Tiger Woods. If that's the group that you're in, then, well, hell yeah. That's pretty darn impressive company. And now I'm kind of curious, like, what happens next with him? Like, will this propel? Because he's not old by any means.
35.
Yeah. So I wonder if this propels, like, a new sense of confidence of, hey, I kind of pulled a Rory in the final round in the Masters, but guess what? I still won. Will that propel him to the next major? Will that propel him to further Masters?
That's an interesting...
And like building on his legacy now.
That's an interesting question because, Kevin, and this seems like a dumb comparison, but I do remember talking to Gavin Dawson one night and I was like, man, you know, I just would love an everyday show. Like, that's kind of the goal of what we're trying to do. And he looked at me and he was like, you're 35, right? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, dude, I didn't have my own show until, and Dawson like went through all this stuff to me. And I was like, oh, so you can get even more motivated after this. And I think that's where Rory will be. I think there's part of him that will celebrate this very strongly. But he saw what focus it took this week. He was watching Zootopia with his daughter instead of talking to anybody or listening to any other outside noise. Yeah. He spent all of his other time focusing on other things to keep him away from golf. Wouldn't even talk to Bryson DeChambeau during their round together. DeChambeau said he wouldn't even talk to me. And so, like, he knew he had to take it to a different level mentally in order for him to be prepared for this game. So I think that once he's seen that now, he's like, I can go add a little bit more to this, and my resume at the end of this thing could be even better, and I could be put in a different category than where I am right now.
Agreed. Alec, would you like to next discuss the old lady who won't sell or Jordan Spieth?
Let's go with Jordan Spieth.
All right. The question that must be asked, did Jordan Spieth do that on purpose? Now, I saw this video because Corey sent it to me. Alec, are you familiar with said video?
Yeah, I think I know where this is going.
All right. He's nuts. Okay, yes.
Thank you.
And if he did do it on purpose,
it kind of looks like he knew the guy and was like, pop, gotcha.
It's Jordan's fault for giving away the game with a little smile after the fact. Cup and tap. So he's just, you know, fist bumping everybody. And then he seems to go out of his way to fist bump the one guy, flip his putter up, and just get him right in the jingle jangles.
Got him a cup check.
Yeah,
dude.
He did. And so, but it's after that he has a little smirk on his face that makes me think, yeah, I just hit that person in the balls on purpose.
And he never turned around. He never made a, oh my gosh, I can't believe that just happened. He just kept going, like you said, with that smirk on his
face,
which could have been, hey, this day is so beautiful and I'm loving life. Or I just hit that dude in the junk.
Yeah. And I really think, and you know what? And it was with the opposite hand. So you can't claim that it was a reaction to me like turning my hand to fist bump you. He fist bumped him with one hand and then cup checked him with the other one, which leads me to believe that is definitely what happened. I say guilty.
I'm right there with
you. I love it too.
I did, by the way, I don't know if you got a chance to watch. There was a Memories at the Masters with Jordan Spieth beforehand. You probably did not watch.
I did not. I'm sorry.
Because I woke up and turned the TV on and was like, let's watch this. And it was Jordan Spieth kind of going through when he won the Masters, and it was a sit-down conversation. And he talked about this moment, Kevin, when he said, I was standing under the big tree, and everybody knows what the big tree is at Augusta. He said, and Jack and Arnold Palmer are telling me how to win this course.
Yeah.
And he said, they're talking to me and giving me all this advice, and I'm just standing there at 22 years old going, is anybody seeing this right now? Like, I'm talking to the two greatest golfers alive, and like, is anybody noticing what's going on here? And I just, that moment at such a young age, and again, Spieth still has time in his career to go back to what everybody expected out of him so early on.
I agree. Now, wanted to talk really quick about Elizabeth Thacker. You guys have any idea who Elizabeth Thacker is?
Do not.
All right. So she has a house that's less than a mile from Augusta National Golf Club.
Okay.
They have been trying to buy it for a long time. She is now 92. All right. 92. So Augusta National, they have gone on this like offensive and they've bought all this property around because, like, obviously, if you have all the property, you can like develop and everything. They spent more than $20 million over the last 20 years buying up places around Augusta. And this lady is like, I'm good. So she lived there with her husband, and her husband died, I think, a few years back. But Augusta keeps asking, hey, we want to buy, or I guess keeps says, I want to buy your house. I want to buy your house. So Thacker says money ain't everything, and she just wants to keep living there, even though,
heck yeah, man.
So her house has an approximate value of $338,000. I would be willing to wait.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That the Masters is probably willing to go above and beyond to make that happen. But this lady is like, the hell with you. I'm going to keep living there, like right by the golf course, right by the club, and I don't really care what amount of money you offer me. I just thought that's really cool.
Hey, somebody needs to institute eminent domain. You know what I mean?
I don't
really go in there and take
actually,
over her home.
I was about to say, I don't think you can do that for a golf course, but if you look back at the history of eminent domain, yep. There are some very dicey claims that were made along the way.
Take that for data.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Baseball Nuggets, a different kind of perfect game right here on The Fan.
One down, the 0-2 pitch. He strikes out Sosa. Back-to-back K's and 11 for Crochet.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now. Brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning. Gimmick-free AC and repair and replacement. I just do too many things. I got too excited. It's time for Baseball Nuggets with me, I guess. I was about to say Mike Bassick, 100%.
All right. We heard from Mike over the weekend.
Yes.
Oh, well.
Yes, we did. All right.
That's it.
Let's talk about, you know what? I'm going to play an incredible bit of audio in this segment. Might make some people nervous, but don't worry about it. Garrett Crochet, he did not get a no-hitter, but he did take a no-hitter into the eighth inning. 7 1/3 before he gave up a hit, struck out 11. And Boston got the win over, well, look, they were playing the White Sox. Try not to focus on that as much, but it was really impressive. Good job, Garrett Crochet.
Didn't they lose? Didn't the White Sox win the series?
Yeah, yes. The Red Sox needed to win that game to avoid a sweep.
From the worst team in the league.
I'm not going to lie. I think if you get swept by the White Sox, you should be thrown out of the league. I don't know if that's for the whole, for good. I don't know if that's for the rest of the year, but if you get swept by the White Sox, you're out of the league.
Yeah, my buddy's wife is a Red Sox fan, and our other friend is a big-time White Sox fan, and he was bragging so hard about it, and she was just like, shut up. But yeah, man, that's bad. And good for Crochet, though.
Yes. Now, the context of this is going to be very important. The player's name is Gavin Sheets. Gavin Sheets, S-H-E-E-T-S. That is his last name. I just wanted you to know that for no particular reason. He also plays for the Padres. And here is a call of one of his home runs.
Lo menciono porque lleva 10 esta noche, Nicolás. Dos bolas sin strike. Palo por la derecha. Es Gavin. Holy Cheese. Calle. Sheets. Sheets. Rah, rah, rah.
Now, how much did you love that call? Secondly, is it a good thing that I went through all the context prior to this home run call?
I would say yes, it is.
Okay.
And that dude, you could tell. A, He reset himself before he said it because he wanted to make sure he said it correctly, right? Like you can,
yes.
He stopped and then did it. But that dude has been waiting since he knew that he was going to be calling a game with him on.
I could see that.
He was like, I cannot wait to throw this line out there. That was awesome.
I just thought it was tremendous. Absolutely. All right. Let's bounce around a little bit more. Let's talk about another thing that was absolutely tremendous. Mark Ripperger. He called the perfect game. He's an MLB umpire. And, you know, I kind of thought about...
Former Washington Commanders quarterback.
No, not Mark Rippon.
Right.
So I thought about what you brought up last week about, you know, a happy medium on the automatic balls and strikes. Yeah. And umpires being like, well, just let them do the whole thing. So
I don't want to be wrong in front of 48,000 people.
Ripperger, he had 100% accuracy Thursday night in the Kansas City, Minnesota game.
Oh, so he called the perfect game.
He called the perfect game. So his relative accuracy was 7.5% above expected, which essentially means they expect umpires to be at 92.5% in case you didn't know that. All missed calls, none. 100% ball accuracy, 100% strike accuracy. Interesting note about that. What do you think is the average strike accuracy call for an umpire?
92%.
88%.
Okay. They're usually pretty good.
On balls, they're 97%.
Okay.
On strikes, though, decidedly lower at 88%. But yeah, I just wanted to shout this fella out via ump scorecards because that's pretty dang impressive.
No, that is really nice. And I wonder, like, if he just had a tight strike zone or if he was just in his groove. You know, sometimes pitchers and hitters are in their groove. He never got fooled by a catcher.
True.
And so he just seen, I bet that dude was just absolutely prepared.
Yeah.
For the game. He knew what he was doing whenever he got started.
Now, and I have no basis for this. Can he become the first umpire? Did he become the first umpire in history to have back-to-back perfect games?
I
have no idea if that's true.
Yeah, I don't
either.
Know.
I mean... Look, it happened a couple days ago. I haven't heard about a follow-up of that he was perfect again. And I have no idea if umpires have called, like, four perfect games in a row or anything like that. All right, let's go to the Cubs.
Oh, yeah, that happens all the time.
We talked about the fact that this could happen. Did you see that Justin Steele is going to have elbow surgery? He's out for the rest of the year. And the reason why I think a lot of Rangers fans are more interested in this is that means his last start was against the Rangers. He was phenomenal in that game. He shut them down over the span of seven innings. Now he's going to need, they're still determining if it's a full ligament replacement or Tommy John with like kind of we've talked about a revised Tommy John. He had Tommy John back in 2017 as well. But the point is he's going to need one of those procedures. He will be out for the rest of the year. So the last time you saw him pitch was up against the Rangers, I believe.
Yeah. And that stinks for them. I know they were relying heavily on him this year too.
Yeah. And obviously, he looked great against the Rangers.
Although,
as we've kind of hinted at, if not flat out said, it has not been the most difficult thing in the world.
That is
to look really good against the Rangers so far this season.
This is kind of though, like, dude, the injuries in baseball are insane right now.
Yeah.
And I just don't understand. Like, I know pitching injuries, it's just like, hey, man, it's a lottery here. One of y'all is going to have this elbow thing pop up. And then when you look at the other front of all these other guys, knee injuries, back injuries, you know, oblique injuries, we've seen that happen a lot. Like, it's wild how these dudes are just going down.
Believe it or not, I looked up some information about the oblique injuries. I think in the last, I'll double check the years. In the last 4 years, the Rangers only have the sixth most oblique injuries in baseball. I would have thought for sure. It was at
We're
the top.
This thing, dude.
But it's not. Like, so I'll go back and find the specific numbers
with
for you.
That number, though, did you find out whether or not the left oblique for a right-handed hitter is the most important?
You know,
Wyatt agreed with us.
I'm going to default to Wyatt, who said, but they're both pretty important.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he agreed that the left one's very important.
Wouldn't you argue if you only had two of something that it's probably both important?
Both of them. Yeah.
Your hands,
2 feet. Yeah.
Your feet.
Yeah. Eyeballs.
Ears.
Nostrils.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like I would be able to do away with a nostril before
a foot
or a hand or even an ear.
Can you imagine being a cyclops? with your nose, though. Like, you're here, you're trying to breathe, and it's just like one day you're laying there and you get stuffed up. Usually it's just one side that gets stuffed up.
Open your mouth.
But you're going to sleep like that? You're snoring. Now you're ruining your sleep. That's not the way to do it, because you already have the sleep tape on.
None of these are ideal.
Good point.
One of them, I can never wear sunglasses again.
Mm-hmm. You can wear sunglasses with one, actually, because the eyeball is in the middle of your head. So who makes those sunglasses? You have to go to the Minion store.
What is happening with you right now? Hey, one more quick thing. Which team has the best record in all of baseball?
Is it the Dodgers still?
It is not the Dodgers. They stink. They're only 11-6.
Is it the Padres?
It is the San Diego, by God, Padres, who get a second mention here. They are
plus 30 run difference.
13-3.
Dang.
Check this out. They completed a 3-game sweep over the Rockies. They threw 3 shutouts, including a 2-hit complete game shutout by Michael King. So just dominant over the weekend by the San Diego Padres, who have the best record in all of Major League Baseball.
Somebody just texted and said you can only breathe out of one nostril regardless. Easy giveaway.
Are you testing your breathing?
I don't know. All right, we'll have to do this in the break, though.
Okay, we will.
What?
We will look into that later from the 682. Y'all also said Rory wouldn't win.
Don't put me in that, y'all.
Or me.
Don't put me in there.
I want to make this clear. I said that.
Yeah, you own that.
And we played the audio, and I said I was an idiot. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's Cowboys Voluntary Workout Day. Will Micah be there? Do you care? And what do voluntary mean? All of it next on The Fan.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.